morning and God bless all of you. This morning we're going to look at records in the Gospel of Luke regarding Jesus Christ's walk upon the earth. Jesus Christ knew who he was and what he needed to be doing from a very young age. He was studying scripture and growing in it by at least the age of 12. And when he started his earthly ministry, he healed, he delivered with all authority that he knew he had from God. In every situation, he always did as the Father instructed him. In every situation, everyone, he always did the Father's will. And we too can walk like that. We too can always, we can know who we are. We can know scripture. We can know, and we do have the authority to heal, to deliver, and to reconcile. So look in Luke chapter 2. Jesus Christ, what a man. Oh my. You know, I know that a lot of you, well, everybody I look at, you know, we read the scripture, we read it, and we love it. And don't you just love to read the Gospels? Don't you just love to learn about Jesus Christ, your Lord, and how he walked on the earth? Do you ever wish, I mean, we have it far greater now than when he walked upon the earth because of all the things that he did, that his dying and being raised from the dead accomplished for us. I would much rather live today. But just for an instant, I'd like to go back and see what that was like. I'd like to just kind of, hey, Jesus, you know, hang with him for a while. See how he lived. See how he ate. But mostly see how he walked with God. Mostly do that. And what's the really super cool thing about it is we can. We can do that. We have Christ in us. So in Luke chapter 2, we're going to start at the beginning. Jesus Christ knew who his Father was and who he was. Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus Christ, at the age of 12 years old, told his folks, I must be about my father's business. He knew who his father was, and he knew what his father's business was. Jesus Christ, of course, was the only begotten Son of God, and he had a little bit different mission than we have on the earth. But, I mean, his whole life was one of to redeem mankind. But how great that he knew at that 12 years old he was about his father's business in the temple. And not only that, but he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You know, Jesus Christ wasn't just some blob until 30 years old. He was a person who studied scripture, who knew scripture, who read the Bible, read the scrolls, whose parents taught him about God. He didn't come born with all the knowledge that he had at 30 years old. He increased in wisdom. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Jesus Christ was about 30. In verse 21, it says, Now when all the people were baptized, and it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. Jesus Christ had gone to John the Baptist to get baptized. And as he did that, and the Holy Ghost, verse 22, descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph, etc. But heaven opened. He got baptized, he got out of the water. Heaven opened, and God said, "This is my beloved son." Now, pretty cool. I mean, if the heavens opened one day and told me I was the son of God, I might, you know, I'd believe it more. But no, I've got the written word of God. But Jesus Christ, getting baptized, the heavens open, "This is my beloved son." He knew who he was. You know, if he didn't know by the age of 30, he knew right then he was the son of God. And at 30, he started his public ministry. Look in Luke chapter 4. So, like I said, up till the age of 30, this man was growing in wisdom of God. He was studying the scrolls of God. He was knowing God's heart, what his life was to do, what he was to do with his life on earth. And those words that he spoke were the words of God. He knew them. He made them his own. And one of the ways we know that is by reading, just reading, we're going to see in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Has anybody here ever traveled through, like, Utah? And you see the gray mountains, not the beautiful parts, but maybe the gray mountains, just like dust, constant dust. Has anybody been to Israel and seen the wilderness? Similar. I've actually been there and saw the wilderness. And it's just a bunch of gray mountains, and they're not very big. I'm not sure if that's exactly what it looked like back when Jesus Christ lived, but the wilderness, when I used to think of it, was like a bunch of woods, a big forest, and I was in the wilderness with tigers and bears and stuff. But the wilderness was pretty desolate. It was gray, total gray, and it's just a bunch of rolling hills. And he was led by God to go out to the wilderness. And he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And at times, I think, what did he do with 40 days and 40 nights? Because it doesn't talk about that time. It only talks when after the 40 days were over. And he had nothing to eat for those 40 days and nights. And then I compared it to myself. You know, when I have an hour or two with nothing to do, what do I do, you know? But he had 40 days and 40 nights. He was led by God to go there. And what did he do with that time with his mind? Because at the end of that 40 days and 40 nights, he was confronted directly by the adversary, by the devil. "Being 40 days tempted of the devil," verse 2. "And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." He was hungry. I got 4 hours and I'm hungry, and the devil can tempt me with anything, you know what I mean? You know what I mean, right? we're all there. But Jesus Christ had the presence of mind. He was there with the word of God in his head, because look at what he did. "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread." He was hungry. And he wasn't tempted with something that he wasn't able to do. Very rarely are we tempted with something that we're not able to do. So, and as we go on, we're just going to skip down a little bit. Because Jesus Christ, what he did, okay, I'm going to go back to verse 4. "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written." And then he was tempted again in verse 5 by the devil. And Jesus Christ said, "It is written." He kept responding with, "It is written, it is written." Look in verse 10, "For it is written, he shall give the angels charge." You know, well, that's the devil. The devil actually said that. Well, Jesus, it's written. But boy, Jesus Christ knew scripture and knew exactly how he was doing it. And he took it and he said, "No, the word says it is written this." I'm going to let you guys read that at home because it's pretty long. But it says in verse 13, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region thereabout." Look in Luke chapter, or verse 16, we're going to skip to. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Now that in itself is pretty cool. Because we know that back in the old days, the Bible was not like this. It wasn't in a book, but it was in scrolls, lots of scrolls. Now, I'm not sure if, like, the book of Isaiah was in one long scroll that you kept opening and opening. But even if it was, he found the place where it was written. He knew where it was written. He knew what it was about. He knew it was about him. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. You know, Jesus found the scroll. He knew what the word was. He knew what it was about, and he spoke it. Now we're going to look how he healed and delivered because of the word that he knew and that he knew who he was. Look in Luke. We're still in Luke. And we're still in Luke 4, verse 32. Well, you know, it was really hard just to pick out certain things out of the Gospels. I know I just stuck with Luke mostly, but boy, you just read those Gospels and you just look at his life, one of just total healing all the time, healing people, loving people, having compassion on people, raising people from the dead. And these are just a few things. But look in verse 32, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, What a word is this! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Jesus Christ spoke with authority and power. He spoke the words of God, and he spoke them with great confidence, because he knew that he had the authority and the power to do so. He had authority and power over devil spirits. Look in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. There's a record in the Bible, I didn't write it down, where the people were astonished because he spake as one that had authority and not as one of the scribes. And that always makes me chuckle, because the scribes and the Pharisees and all those fellows, they were in charge of teaching the word to people. And yet, you know, and not as one of the scribes who didn't have the authority and the power. So to them it was a new thing. Whoa, what's this guy? This guy's walking around with authority and power. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And that is pretty cool, because in the old days too, lepers were not, if you were a leper, you couldn't really even walk on the same side of the street as most people walked, and you had to shout out, unclean, unclean. You couldn't just walk amongst people. It was a disease they didn't know about very well. Well, they knew because there were so many of lepers, but they thought it was very contagious, and they didn't want to be around lepers. But this man took a chance. He ran up to Jesus and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. You know, Jesus didn't move away from him. In those days, if you saw a leper, you moved back. He didn't go towards him. But Jesus Christ stood there and he touched him. And think about, when do you think maybe that leper, the last time he was ever touched? When was he ever touched? People didn't touch lepers. You don't touch them, because they thought it was communicable by that. And then it was somebody apart. But Jesus Christ, I will. I'm touching you. Be thou clean. Look in Luke 7. We're going to see that in Luke 7, there's a centurion at that time who recognized that Jesus Christ's authority, he recognized what Jesus Christ had authority, and he recognized what kind of authority Jesus Christ had it over. Look in verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they had come to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loves our nation, and hath built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, The centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. You know, I also am a man under authority. He knew Jesus had authority. He didn't have authority over the soldiers, but boy, this man knew that Jesus had authority over something, because people were getting healed. You know, devil spirits were being freed from people. He knew that there was authority there. He recognized it. He goes, well, take care of my son, or my servant. I say unto one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith or believing, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. I'm going to keep reading. And it came to pass the day after that, he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Walking to the town of Nain, there comes a funeral. It's coming out of the city. A widow, no husband. She's burying her only son. And he's just walking. He's just walking in. And the Lord saw her, and he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. What a story. Man. You know? It's amazing. Can't even comment on that. That's so amazing. Look at Luke 8. Jesus Christ, you know, he was full of compassion when he saw that widow. You know, he had the Word of God dwelling in his mind. He knew his authority. He knew the power that he had. He knew who he was. And the cool thing that we're going to see a little bit later is that he checked with God. He checked with God. He always did the Father's will. And when he saw that widow, he's thinking, I have compassion. The Word was living in his heart. He knew his authority. He got that kid up. You know, he took care of the situation. He checked with God. It was, go, let's do it. And look at the deliverance. You know, if you have a close person that's close to you that dies, and imagine that. You know, somebody came and raised him from the dead. You know, Jesus Christ did that. And he had the power. He had the authority. He knew what he was doing, and God told him to do it. How neat. I said Luke 8, verse 22. So we see where he healed lepers, he delivered people from devil spirits, he raised the dead. Now look what else he can do in verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him and saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your believing? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And when they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee, And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes, neither a bone in any house, but in tombs. Okay, I know that you guys have read this a long time, but it never ceases to amaze me. He's in the boat, they're having a rough night, the boat's filling with water, he wakes up, he calms the seas, they finally reach the other side, and the minute they get out, there's a man with no clothes, lived among the tombs, and he's meat nice, full of devils. Okay, now, I would run. I would hope I would check with the Father. I really do, and I hope that my mind would be full of the power and authority that I knew I had and who I was in Jesus Christ. Because just to read that, oh boy, you know, man, I just calmed the waves, I'm leaving. You know, I've had enough for one day. Jesus Christ was confronted constantly with this stuff, and yet he always checked with God. He always spoke. He always spoke the word of God and walked in power and authority. So here's this guy running up to him naked and living in the tombs and full of devils. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out. Not only that, you know, he's crying, "Ah!" You know. Okay. This is real stuff. You know, we live in such a contained society, we don't see stuff like this anymore, but it's out there. There's people that need help this desperately. This is a desperate situation. You know, we like to hide it with drugs and all kinds of, you know, other things. So, he fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils had entered into him. And they besought him, etc., etc. I'm going to skip down a little bit to verse 33. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. Verse 34. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, the people from the city around about Gadarenes, and came out to see Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of devils was healed. And then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went to the ship and returned back again. Now when the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. You know, I would have let the guy come with me. You know, this guy, he's not in a good situation. You know, wherever he's been allowed to be driven of the devil into the tombs and break chains and go crazy. And I'm thinking, my natural thoughts are, I'm taking this guy out of his situation. But what did Jesus Christ do? He didn't do that. And why? He says he always did what the Father wanted. He checked in with God. Should I take him with me? Boy, that's the census thing to do, isn't it? That would have been the best thing I could have thought of. But Jesus Christ didn't. And he knew, you know, he knew what to do, what would be the most, what would be the best thing for that person. Look in John chapter 8. I'm going to go to John chapter 8 just because it just shows how he checked in with the Father. And so many people that I've talked to use the scripture for a whole different, or the section of scripture for a different reason. But when I look at this scripture, I see Jesus Christ waiting till he knew exactly what the Father wanted done. And he did it, and people got blessed, and people got healed, and people got delivered. And sometimes you got to go like this. You got to wait. You got to just step back. You got to stop. And you got to get quiet in your head and think, well, what does the Father want here? I've got the Word dwelling in my mind. I've got compassion already going on in my heart. I know who I am. What does the Father want done? John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Great situation. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Yeah, they didn't care about that woman. They didn't care. They just wanted to accuse Jesus. You know, they didn't care whether if she was on the verge of a suicide, maybe, or hated her life. They didn't care. They just wanted, what do you think? What do you think? But Jesus stooped down with his and with his finger wrote in the ground. And that as though he heard them not is in italics, so it could be removed. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them. So not only did he kneel down, writing in the sand, they continued bugging him. Like, come on, what do you think? What do you think? You don't know the answer, do you? Boy, have you ever been in situations like that? You know, have you let them control the situation? Have you let other people control it, or have you gone to God and stayed solid with him? Boy, especially, you know, I look at the front row and I think of high school and all the times, and sorry guys, or hey, life today. And so many times I'm in a situation where I'm confronted and to act, I mean forced to act, to do something, or to conform to the world, or to do what everybody else is doing. And it's a hard one. It's a hard one because you know, he didn't let that shake him. He just, and when he was ready and he knew for sure, he got up. And so when they continued asking him, he lifted himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Boy, what a perfect answer. Whoa. And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and he saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, he was the one guy that could have. He was the one guy that had a sinless life, and he didn't condemn her. He didn't judge her, you know, he didn't. But the whole great thing about this is he walked with God. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed to say something, you didn't know what to say, you checked in with the Father, and he gave you the perfect thing to say, the thing that healed, the thing that delivered, the thing that felt that person felt loved? Boy, you can't come up with that stuff. That's God in Christ living in you with the Word of God dwelling in your mind. That's you walking with your Father knowing exactly that he loves people, that he loves, he wants to heal, he wants to deliver. Jesus Christ had that heart. He had it. John 21. These are just a few records of what Jesus Christ did. Just a few. Are they amazing? You agree with me? Are they amazing? Verse 25. When I was younger, I used to, when I read the Gospels, it was one of the things that I did a lot when I was in high school. I read the Gospels because I was just amazed that there could be someone this great. I didn't know about the greatness of what he actually did when he died and rose again, but I just saw this guy who, wow, you know, that's amazing stuff. And when I read this verse, I thought I was going to be out to find those books. Verse 25, it says, And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Now, no matter how long he was upon earth, you know, 9 months to a year, however long it was, that he started his ministry and healed, delivered, and blah, 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 there's not even enough books in the world that could contain what he did. You know, wow. He always did what God wanted him to do, too. John chapter 8 again. Go back a few. And in verse 29, I told you we were going to find out that he always did the Father's will, where it's written that he always did the Father's will. And he said, in verse 29, it says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And then look in John chapter 12. And in verse 49, not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. You know, if this is true, then how could anybody ever say that it's God's will to hurt you or to harm you or to cause sickness upon you? Because if Jesus Christ always did the Father's will, he wasn't around going, "Eep, you're stuck with, you know, I'm sicking you with leprosy, or I'm sicking you with the flu, or I'm sicking you with cancer." You know, how could, you know, if that's true, if he always did the Father's will, look at his life. It was one of delivering people, of healing people, of healing hearts, to preach. You know, he healed the brokenhearted. He set the captives free. Remember what he said in that one verse? You know, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That was what he was all about. You know, God is not about causing sickness and disease. Jesus, you know, he didn't point and command illnesses and hurt and harm to people. He looked and commanded healing and health and life to people. You know, he preached the gospel to the poor. He healed the brokenhearted. He preached deliverance to the captives. He recovered sight to the blind. Those are things we didn't even read about. And he set at liberty them that were in anguish, those that were bruised. You know, sometimes in life, you don't know what to say. You go to the Father like Jesus Christ did. Keep the word dwelling in your mind. You're walking in love, and he gives you the best thing to say. And this reminds me of a story. I had a store at one time, and we had vendors coming in and out, and you know, I established with one of them. We always told people about Jesus Christ when they came in, and one of them was a Christian, and we had a wonderful relationship, and just a real lighthearted, easygoing young guy. And he came in one day, and he was just devastated. It was all just not him. It's like, what's going on? I found out my mom she's going to die. She has cancer. She has all this stuff, and he was, well-meaning people had told him that this was from God. This was, you know, something that will bring her closer to God, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, you know how your heart hurts? Because you know your Father. You know your God. And you know your God would not do that to anybody. He wouldn't do that. That's the world. And, boy, you know, your mind's going a mile a minute. What can I say to him? How could I teach him about healing? Blah, 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 blah. Well, that wasn't it. You know, I got peaceful. And this is God. This isn't because I'm so great. And it's not because you're so great. Because you couldn't come up with those words if it took 1,000 years. You know, he knows what's going to heal. He knows what's going to deliver. He wrote this. And I was like, Jesus Christ healed people. That's all I said. And I knew, man, his whole life just changed right then. Because you know what? He had read the Gospels. God knew what his background was or whatever. You know, he had read about Jesus Christ healing people. He knew that that wasn't his God that would want to hurt anybody or cause anybody any harm. How cool is that? How cool is it to have words to speak that heal, that touch people's hearts? And you can do that. You know, how cool is it? Do you want to walk like that? Do you want to deliver people? Do you want to heal people? Do you want to raise people from the dead? Look in John chapter 14. A very great person talked about when he looked out on the Christian world, he realized that they weren't even living an abundant life, let alone a more than abundant life that Jesus Christ came to make available. And I look at my life, and that could be said of that at times, most of the time. But, you know, it's great because I don't have to, you know, live in that anguish and misery. I can keep going. Every moment's new for me. But, you know, I can live a more than abundant life. I can live life in all of its manifestations. And you know, I look upon things and I think, boy, man, we do live way far below par. We do, at certain degrees. We accept too much that the devil gives us. We let him tell us things. We believe his lie, that we can't get healed, that we can't feel better, that we can't get a broken heart healed, that we can't, you know, it's always defeat with the adversary. It's always defeat with the devil. But with God, it's always victory. It's always peace. It's always deliverance. It's always healing. You know. So in John 14, verse 12, Verily I say unto you, this is Jesus Christ speaking, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, unless, you know, that's not what your Bible says, I've got a different one. But Jesus Christ said, hey, you can do this stuff. You can even do more than that. The more stuff he's talking about is reconciling people back to God. You know, but hey, this stuff's just minor, but you're going to do way more than that. You know, healing and deliverance is minor, you know. Where's our heads? You know, it should be minor. Oh, you're sick. Oh, you get better. Oh, you're this. Oh, that's okay. Yeah, God has the answers for that. But we can reconcile people back to God. We can help people get born again. But Jesus Christ said, he that believes on me, there's the key. This believe on him must come with way more than just being nice. Now I'm a Christian. I don't lie anymore. I don't steal anymore. You know, all that's included. But, you know, it has to be more than just being a Christian, believing on Jesus Christ. It's way more than being kind. Now I'm a new person. I'm nice and kind. And they're wonderful. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But it's way more than that. It's way more than just turning over a new leaf in life. It's way more. It's power. It's knowing who you are as a son of God. It's walking with him and knowing what to do, knowing what to say, living a life like Jesus Christ lived and beyond, and beyond. You know, if just all of us started doing that, starting really believing in what we can do, filling our mind with scripture. This isn't something we just wake up and decide to do. You know, we're human. We believe certain things. Just consistently make an effort of doing these things like Jesus Christ did. Know who you are as the Son of God. Know this. Put the Word of God in your mind. Know that you have the authority over evil. You have the authority. Don't let the world talk you into thinking you don't. Look in 1 John chapter 3. We are sons of God. We are. Jesus Christ had the heavens open. Dove came down. Beloved, you know, this is my son. We know from Scripture that we are sons of God. And lots of other ways. But look here what it says. 1 John, not Peter. Verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. This isn't someday in the future when you wake up and you're 35. This is today. You know, are you born again? Have you believed on the name of Jesus Christ? Then you are a son of God now. In Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 9, we're sons of God. We know it. The Word tells us. We've believed. Now we have authority. We have power. We are complete in Jesus Christ. Look in verse 9 in chapter 2. For in him, Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We have Jesus Christ in us. We're complete in him, and Jesus Christ is the head of all principality and power. You follow this through? We have Jesus Christ in us. We're complete in him. So whatever he has, we have. We have all authority and power, because it says it. Right there. It's not because I thought it was a good idea. You know, a lot of times, boy, I really am careful about what I talk to people about the Word of God, because if it's not the Word of God and they go try it and it fails, how much are they going to believe me next time? But I read this. You know, it's authority. He's the head. I've got him in me. Okay. I'm believing that. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Okay, well, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? Does that mean that we have as much power as it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead? And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. We have that much power that it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, and he set him on his own right hand and put him above all principality and power. Do we have that? And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filled all in all. You know, who are we complete in? Are we able? So it's not a question of being able then, because the Word of God already tells us we are. So we already know that we have the authority and the power. We already know that we're sons of God. Right? But we can learn a lot from the life of Jesus Christ, can't we? Just by looking at that. Because we can align ourselves with certain things from his life that he had here on earth that we are able to do and that we can do. Boy, look in Mark chapter 16. Thinking about when Jesus Christ said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And you know, maybe his Father's business in his life was a little bit different. He was the only begotten Son of God. He was here to redeem man. He was here for a little bit different reason. But we are about our Father's business. You know, when people ask you, "What business are you in?" What are you going to say? You know, "I'm about my Father's business." You know, I want to be like that. I want to live with authority and power. I want to live as the Son of God. First and foremost, in my mind, that's who I am. Everything else is second. Being a mother, being whatever else I do, that's second. What am I first and foremost? Son of God, with all power and authority to heal, deliver, to preach deliverance to the captives, to set people free. First and foremost, I'm about my Father's business, okay? I want to be about my Father's business. And in Mark chapter 16, everybody else is there. And in verse 15, and he said unto them, this is Jesus Christ speaking, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." Did Jesus Christ do that? Yeah. Did he tell them that they were going to be able to do that? Yeah. "They shall speak with new tongues." We did that. And if they take up serpents, or if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And when they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. You know, the Lord working with them. You know, about their Father's business, knowing who they were. And that's who we are. That's who we are. So we look a little, you know. So I'm this age, I look a little old, I'm not as agile, so you're real young. It doesn't matter, you know? We're all the same. We're all sons of God. We all are complete in him. So, that's great. That's the Word of God.